going to talk about heart disease and women this hour and how the risk factors and symptoms are different for women and men. And our guest experts will answer your questions about preventing, diagnosing, and treating heart disease. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 4th. Heart disease is the number one cause of death of women in the United States, and despite awareness efforts, experts at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say too few women know this statistic or how certain risk factors and symptoms can make heart disease more deadly in women than it is with men. Call in with your questions about or your experiences with heart disease. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And while we certainly have a special focus on women during this hour, we certainly welcome calls from men as well. And for that matter, men have women in their lives who they care about, and we think this is a topic that all will benefit from. Let me welcome our guests. Dr. Daniel Harbin is a cardiologist with Gunderson Healthcare System. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Janice Schrader is also with us. She is with Gunderson as well. She's a registered nurse and a nurse practitioner in cardiology. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the reason I mentioned that men could call in as well is my very first Facebook comment was kind of a sarcastic comment saying, well, I'm sure glad this problem doesn't affect men, being heart disease. Let me start with Dr. Harbin. Yes, heart disease is, I've read, an equal opportunity killer, but it is different between men and women?
Well, I think the message is that It is an equal opportunity killer and disabler, and I think the previous years have been troubled by the notion that it's a men's disease only.
But that's changing, you believe?
Hopefully it's changing, yeah.
Yeah, but Janice Schrader, there are certain differences between men and women when it comes to how heart disease presents or the risk factors?
Well, the risk factors are fairly similar in that age, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, smoking, obesity, sedentary lifestyle, and specifically a family history of heart disease. But when it comes to women and risk factors, we also have to think about history of preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and early menopause as flags for us to take note of. We sometimes see more heart disease in patients with rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, and those tend to have a bigger population of women. So when it comes to risk factors, there are a few other ones that we need to acknowledge as well. In terms of presentation, we can see both typical and atypical presentation in both men and women. So some patients will just come in with shortness of breath. Sometimes patients will come in with neck, jaw, back, shoulder ache, something that's not quite that typical chest pain that people know more about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I had heard that sometimes, in fact, I have a friend who woke up one morning and was just really, really tired, exhausted, felt like she couldn't get out of bed. And it turned out she had a mild heart attack. I mean, and that's not something you necessarily would think was some sort of heart disease problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something that we would qualify as atypical, and that's a hard one because there's a lot of things that can make people feel fatigued. But if it's something new and different for you, I think seeking emergency services is the best thing to do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the risk factors, Dr. Harbin. Who is likely to develop heart disease?
Well, there are kind of similar risk factors for women and men, and I think equal opportunity is the thing to come back to. But certainly, tobacco is hugely important, along with hypertension, diabetes, also cholesterol abnormalities. Family history is very important, of course.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about diagnosing whether someone has an issue with heart disease?
Well, I think the where you start is with the so-called index of suspicion. I think that whether it's a man or a woman, you know, I think if there's even vague or suspicious symptoms that might be a sign of heart disease, you want to look into that pretty aggressively. Frequently, we'll start off with non-invasive testing.
And what would that include?
A lot of times, stress testing, stress testing has its pitfalls, but stress testing in a variety of forms. Sometimes we can do CT scans, too, to see if there is calcification or plaque in the coronary arteries.
Mm-hmm. And what about the age of somebody? Is this something, how soon should we be screened for these types of things?
Well, there again, there's no question that as we get older, the incidence of coronary artery disease increases. But Janice and I both see very, very young people who will have remarkable coronary artery disease.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean exactly, coronary artery disease?
Well, coronary artery disease is the problem that plaque buildup, deposits inside the coronary arteries. The coronary arteries are the vessels that are giving blood flow to the heart muscle. So if you're having a heart attack, which is damage to the heart muscle, what we're really generally dealing with is a blockage or an occlusion in one of the coronary arteries.
And does that, one thing that I learned somewhat recently was that blockage can occur when the actual wall of the artery bursts with the plaque in it, and that's what clogs the artery. It's not as though the artery is just over the years getting filled up, or is it both?
Well, I would say that there's two different types of heart attacks. One of them you see when a plaque ruptures and there's a bunch of contents of the blood that's spilled into the bloodstream. And from there, that's one type of heart attack where getting to the hospital very quickly is important. But there can also be another type of heart attack where plaque gradually builds up and causes those same symptoms and can cause damage to the heart muscle.
Yeah. So what are some of the symptoms that one should, not just that maybe a heart attack is happening, but that maybe we have heart disease?
Well, the classic sort of hallmark of a heart attack, or the warning of a heart attack, is some level of discomfort, uncomfortable feeling, usually in the chest area. I think it's too easy to say just the simple words chest pain, because that's too restrictive. I think that it isn't always what we would call a pain, and it isn't always in the chest. It might be in the shoulder, it might be in the neck, it might be in the arm, and it might not be a pain. It might be just a heaviness or a tightness or an aching, but some level of uncomfort. Now, the other thing, though, is that sometimes it's not that at all. Sometimes it can be just something as simple as being short of breath.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was getting at before we actually get to the point where we might be having a heart attack. Janice, are there signs that that we might have a problem, or do we not get those symptoms until it's almost too late?
I would say the majority of the patients I see in the outpatient clinic have had the warning signs and got attention, whether their first presentation is a heart attack or whether they're getting signs of angina or heart-related symptoms. You know, it's all individualized. there is some literature out there suggesting maybe women don't get the warning signs as much as men, but in my experience, I tend to see, for the most part, people do have symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm trying to get at the symptoms of heart disease, not a heart attack.
And those would be the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Angina is basically a warning. It's your heart not getting enough blood supply, and when that goes on for long enough, that causes a heart attack.
We are talking about heart disease and women, but for that matter, we can talk about heart disease in men as well. We are talking with two guest experts and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are you dealing with heart disease, or do you know someone who is? How do you keep your heart healthy? Let us know as we are talking with Dr. Daniel Harbin, a cardiologist with Gunderson Healthcare System, and Janice Schrader, a registered nurse and nurse practitioner in cardiology. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about heart disease this hour, the number one killer of women, and we are talking with two guest experts who are helping us understand the risk factors and the symptoms, and we'll talk more about treatment, and we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and we'll also get to some of the latest research in preventing, diagnosing, and treating heart disease. We do have some callers, so let's go to Tina in Oshkosh first. Hello, Tina.
Hi. Yeah, my question is about cardiomyopathy, and I was diagnosed at 47 by accident. I was going to schedule surgery, and they recommended an EKG, and they caught something. I'm just wondering if we need to be doing EKGs a little bit earlier than 50, because I think that's the recommended age. I'm just wondering. I've also heard that it comes from viruses. I don't know how I got it.
Well, and what is cardiomyopathy, Dr. Harbin?
Well, cardiomyopathy is a general term that generally means a weakness of the heart muscle. Usually this is not something in the category of heart attacks or coronary artery blockages. And it is true that one of the things that can end up resulting in that is a virus.
And I'm sorry, resulting from that, or it's caused by it?
Well, there are certain viruses that can affect the heart and cause inflammation in the heart muscle kind of diffusely, and then later weaken the heart, and it's that weakening of the heart muscle which we refer to with the term cardiomyopathy.
I see, okay.
Cardiomyopathies can be caused by other things as well.
Should her question was, should people get an EKG earlier than age 50 to try to diagnose heart disease in any way?
Honestly, I don't think so. That's a super question. I think an EKG frequently isn't going to show us what we need to see if we're thinking about a cardiomyopathy. And if we saw an abnormal or a normal EKG, we might not really be on target with the diagnosis of a cardiomyopathy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Tina, for the call. Do you have anything to add to that, Janice?
Not particularly. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone with a family history of heart disease, you know, we'd think about an EKG earlier, but you know, what we do about it is definitely the question, and EKG can have some false positives, false negatives, and, you know, it's not going to be catching everyone in that category.
Janice Schrader, one other question I wanted to present to you is, especially when it comes to women,
throughout my adult life. I really, you know, I had cholesterol tested and blood pressure tested and all these other signs that you should have tested. But I was told, and I have noticed slightly, that that things change for women as they after they go through menopause. Is that something, should we be doing? I don't know. You have to be watching women more carefully after age 50, for instance.
Well, we know some of the factors when women go into menopause. You know, estrogen can have some effect on the cholesterol numbers and the blood pressure and the overall inflammation in the body. So I think, you know, as you get older, paying attention to how you're feeling, looking for symptoms and, you know, seeking attention with those. But it's never too early to start the prevention aspect of things. You know, making sure your blood pressure is controlled, your cholesterol is controlled, making sure your blood sugar is normal, exercising, maintaining a healthy weight. Those are things you should do lifelong and not waiting till menopause to do those.
A caller who couldn't stay on the line wanted to know if a daily aspirin actually helps prevent heart disease and how strong a dose should she take. What about that, Dr. Harbin?
Well, that's a really good question. The data, the scientific data on this point really are not out there, sadly enough, for women. For men, there was a study done decades ago now that would suggest that men over the age of 50 probably should are better off being on an aspirin a day, and the study just hasn't been done with women. Regarding the dosage, aspirin seems to be a remarkable medication. Even a small dosage, even a baby aspirin, seems to be adequate.
So I'm going to step out there and ask, should, even though there hasn't been a study on women and aspirin, should women also take a baby aspirin?
Well, you know, that's a fair question. I guess my answer is probably, but I really don't have the scientific evidence to stand on and defend that. And certainly, if you know, it may not be at age 50 like it is for men. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's age 55. We really don't know.
And that's one of the reasons why the Heart Health Awareness Month, which is February, and the Go Red for Women events, and a special focus on women, Janice Schrader, is because we haven't had as many studies on women and heart disease as we have men and heart disease.
Yeah, that is the tradition. I actually attended a conference last week where research was presented focusing specifically on women, and these are funded from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and it's called the WISE study. So there's different avenues of this WISE study that really look at women and heart disease. So I think that is an accomplishment. It took several years. You know, back in 1984 is when females actually began to outnumber males in the deaths from heart disease, and so, you know, after a good 12 years, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute actually said, let's focus some money in this avenue to try to bring down that disparity.
Mm-hmm. Anything worth noting from that new research?
I think it's going to be an ongoing thing, but, you know, looking at how drugs affect women specifically, and looking at, you know, what else we can do in prevention, you know, definitely how the hormonal aspect affects heart disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get one more call in before our news break. Mark in Medford is with us. Hello, Mark.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 44 years old, and we have heart disease in our family. My father died at age 57. And 2 years ago, we lost my brother at the age of 47, mm-hmm. both of heart disease. Now, I went in and had a stress test done and passed with flying colors. And that was 2 years ago. And now I had a bunch of blood work done about 2 weeks ago. And my vitamin D level came back way below normal. And then I can't remember what the other one was, but it measures the inflammation of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Is it homocysteine levels?
Yes.
So I'm wondering what I should if I should be taking supplements to get those levels corrected, and then what kind of supplements I should be taking to get those back in the correct number, in the correct range.
Thanks for calling, Mark. Well, Dr. Harbin, what about his vitamin D and homocysteine levels?
Well, that's a great question, Mark. I think that there's been a lot of enthusiasm for vitamin D. I know I take vitamin D every day. I think if your vitamin D level is low, clearly this is an important thing. I wouldn't take more than the recommended daily allowance, because you can get into trouble with too much vitamin D. Certainly in this region of the country, we don't get quite the sun exposure that other people do, so we can be low on vitamin D. Beyond that, though, there's nothing really to take for your low homocysteine other than vitamin D, and then all the other important things for heart health, including the appropriate diet and a really good daily exercise program.
Well, we'll talk more about preventing and treating heart disease after we check the latest news. You can join us with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about heart disease this hour. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for women in the United States. The latest statistics from the CDC say it's responsible for one in every four female deaths. Yet the CDC says only a slight majority of women recognize this fact, and many may not be aware of the risk factors that affect women differently than they do men. We will talk about heart disease and welcome your questions about preventing, diagnosing, and treating heart disease at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Tuesday, March 4th. By the way, thank you, thank you, thank you. It does our heart good that more than 4,800 listeners pledged during our winter membership drive, which ended yesterday, including more than 1,000 sustaining pledges. And we are pleased to welcome more than 1,000 new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much for contributing to the Wisconsin Public Radio programs you depend on. Let me welcome back our guests. We are talking with Dr. Daniel Harbin, a cardiologist with Gunderson Healthcare System, and Janice Schrader, an RN and nurse practitioner in cardiology at the Gunderson Healthcare System. And again, we are welcoming your questions and your experiences with heart disease. Mark's call just before news, Dr. Harbin, made me want to talk a little bit about a family history. He said his father and his brother both unfortunately passed away because of heart disease, and he was fine until now just recently, tests showing that his vitamin D is low and his homocysteine levels are low. Is it a sentence that you're going to have heart disease if you know some immediate family members also had heart disease?
Well, we see people that you might say beat the odds all the time. I've seen people with horrible heart disease running in their families that do great for years, and the opposite is true also. I think that you can't. You can't change your genes, certainly, the genes that you're born with, but I think what you can do and what is in your power is to certainly do what you can to modify the things that you can, the modifiable things, being, you know, along the line of maintaining a good exercise level and diet and then getting the attention you need for other risk factors, including blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the, Janice Schrader, some of the, especially when it comes to diet, that maybe all of us should do to prevent heart disease?
Well, our dietitian really promotes the Mediterranean diet, which we'll look at, definitely the basis should be lots of fruits and vegetables and whole grains. The Mediterranean diet includes a few servings of fish each week and some healthy oils. There are other people across the country that look into a whole foods, plant-based diet, cutting out meat and dairy, because it's interesting to note there is no plant-based food that contains cholesterol. So you get differences of opinion, and I think this is an area that we need more research. And definitely the thing that's in common with all the diets, more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, that fiber is really heart healthy.
Well, here's maybe other people are in my situation. I did lose quite a bit of weight. It's almost 10 years ago now. I'm pretty much keeping it off. I am mostly vegetarian. I don't eat a lot of animal-based products. I do exercise daily, 6 days a week, and make sure that I'm also doing stress relief. I do yoga. Yet, my cholesterol level is something that my doctor is looking at. I'm not on anything now, but even with all that, I'm at sort of this borderline better watch out kind of level for cholesterol. What's happening there, do you think?
It's probably a matter of aging. It could be hormones coming into play. Sometimes you can't control everything with diet and exercise, but when you can, that's the first place to start. There are also things that you can include, like ground flaxseed, plant stanols, and sterols. But some people need that medication to help lower the cholesterol. And I think that's particularly important if there's a family history of high cholesterol or a family history of heart disease, to really look at the statin medications as something to consider.
Yeah. So should I be on a statin, Dr. Harbin? I know you're not giving personalized medical advice, but just generally.
Well, I guess it would depend a little bit on exactly what the numbers are. This is kind of timely. This is a timely question because it was just a few months ago in last November when the American Heart Association came out with new and remarkably changed guidelines for exactly this issue of primary prevention, cholesterol, and all other things in there. And there is now, even online, a risk calculator. You can calculate your 10-year risk of heart disease. And if your risk is high, which they define as greater than 7.5% in 10 years, then you should be on a statin, according to the new, latest and greatest guidelines.
1-800-642-1234 is our number if you have a question about heart disease for either of our guests, Dr. Daniel Harbin or Janice Schrader from the Gunderson Care Healthcare System. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Harbin, Janice mentioned this research from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and you would also like to talk about the Heart Truth Project?
Well, yeah, this is kind of neat. I think that for those of us, I've been in the field of cardiology for over three decades now, and the notion that women get heart disease too is not, honestly, it's not new news. Those of us that have been working in cardiology have known for years that that's true. But there, in a national kind of level of consciousness, you might say, both among the general public and even among healthcare providers that don't work in cardiology, there's kind of been an idea that heart disease is a men's disease. And it was about 14 years ago that a really, really wonderful study was done. It was a telephone survey study done, published in 2000, where just a number, like 1,000 adult women were just telephone interviewed about their knowledge of heart disease and risk factors and prevention. And, at a time when heart disease is the number one killer of women, It turned out that 8% of women seem to be aware of that, so many more were afraid that the number one killer was breast cancer. And I think what resulted was the Department of Health and Human Services and National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute started the project called The Heart Truth, and the logo for that is the red dress. I'm sure many of our listeners have seen the red dress logo to really support just an awareness that heart disease really is as they say, it doesn't really care. Heart disease doesn't care what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm. And why do you suppose do you think that a campaign is helping Janice Schrader and women now, and everybody now knows that heart disease is a danger for women?
Well, I would like to think so. I mean, there's some national sponsors. You've seen that red dress label on Coke products. I mean, you've seen it in the media. I mean, we definitely have a lot of our providers do various talks and TV interviews in February of each year and throughout the year to try to promote that women need to be aware of this and they need to be actively involved in preventing this disease.
Yeah, and you are doing those awareness programs too?
We have quite a big group here, so we have different representation, and I would say this is one of them. The interview was centered around the February Women in Heart Disease Month, and we're just a few days over that, but this is something we can carry on all year.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take more of your phone calls about heart disease and women, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is now 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 4th. We are talking with two guest experts about preventing and diagnosing and treating heart disease, Dr. Daniel Harbin and Janice Schrader, who is an RN and nurse practitioner in cardiology at Gunderson Healthcare System. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have another call from Jane in New Berlin. Hello, Jane.
Oh, hello. I am wondering about the numbers, HDL level, LDL level, and the ratio between the total cholesterol and the HDL level. Are those also taken into consideration before such as advising a statin?
All right. Thank you, Jane. All right. Well, Dr. Harbin, what exactly are you saying when you say the HDL and LDL cholesterol levels?
Your cholesterol, our cholesterol in our blood is attached to, largely, it's attached to proteins, lipoproteins, and some of them are high density and some of them are low density. And so you get the terminology HDL for high density lipoprotein and LDL for low density lipoprotein. Now it's absolutely true that if you have a high level of HDL, that's good, and if you have a high level of LDL, that's bad. And so you get the terms good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. I mentioned earlier that in just a few months ago, the American Heart Association kind of turned the world upside down in terms of guidelines. We used to really all my career, we've spent a huge amount of time targeting these numbers with the decision to use a statin and how to dose a statin. And I think now the paradigm has shifted to where if you need a statin, you need to be on a statin, and if you don't, you don't. And we no longer really, at least officially, target these numbers in terms of deciding to use a statin or dosing a statin.
I'm sorry, if I have a really high cholesterol level, how does that determine whether I should be on a statin or not?
Well, there's a lot of things that enter into it. It's not only there's no question that if you have a high LDL cholesterol, which is the bad form, you need to be on a statin. But it's also true that there's benefit associated with statin if you have diabetes, or if you have by some way of knowing it, prior events or testing, if you have coronary artery disease, you need to be on a statin, and you're benefited. The studies show you're benefited from a statin.
Yeah. And how does the statin benefit you?
Well, we know that statin's primary thing is that they lower cholesterol, and they're powerful for doing that. Statins seem to have also an anti-inflammatory additional effect. There are people that are on statins and they seem to get a benefit above and beyond just the cholesterol lowering aspect of the statin.
Yeah. So can I be on a statin and eat whatever I want?
I think it's good to follow a very healthy diet regardless. Even if you have a wonderful cholesterol profile in your blood, I think it's still following a good diet and exercise program is essential. Certainly, a statin is going to afford you an extra benefit, but I think it doesn't give you a free pass to to be reckless with your diet.
Mm-hmm. And are there, Janice Schrader, any, I don't know, special considerations when it comes to women and the use of statins?
I would say not particularly at this time. It's a matter of trying to use the best potency statin for the situation, so taking into account whether you have heart disease, whether you have diabetes, and whether you have a family history and what your overall risk is. So the current guidelines actually are the same for men and women, mm-hmm. But we believe that the effects are also the same.
Yeah. So we have just been talking about heart disease as one thing. There are many forms of heart disease, Janice?
Yes. Heart disease is a blanket term, and you know, in our day-to-day practice, we not only see the people with coronary artery disease, which we are basically talking about here, but also the cardiomyopathy that one of the callers touched base on. There's also heart rhythm problems, valve problems. So the word heart disease is a blanket term, but coronary artery disease is more of you know, what we're talking about when it comes to heart attacks and the symptoms that men and women have.
Yeah, you know, one question I did want to ask well, both of you, is the triglycerides. How the triglycerides are something. I'll give an example. My husband had very low cholesterol levels, but the triglycerides were of concern. How do they play into this, Dr. Harbin?
Well, I think the jury is out on that. It's not one of the primary risk factors that we track. I think there's been in the past a huge amount of enthusiasm about looking at that, but it's not one of the primary risk factors for coronary heart disease these days.
There was a study that was in the news recently. According to the American Heart Association, women who have had a heart attack have the highest risk of developing memory trouble or cognitive thinking trouble. What can you tell us about this, Janice?
Well, I think the biggest connection would be that the same risk factors, the same disease process that occurs in the heart arteries can also occur elsewhere in the body. So we oftentimes see on imaging like a CT scan that people can have microvascular changes. So I think it's an overall whole body disease process and not just occurring at the heart. And that's something that we definitely need to keep in mind when women are presenting with these types of symptoms.
And one study I found just in the news yesterday, the headline, "Research Finds Link Between Women with Work Stress and Heart Attacks." And it says women with stressful jobs are more likely to have a heart attack no matter how young they may be. I guess the age didn't matter. It was the stress. Or at least that's what the study was saying. Janice Schrader, what do you think of that?
Well, I think there has been other information to make us think that women can be more prone to the stress response than men when it comes to having heart attacks. There's a type of heart attack called Takotsubo that probably affects women more than men. And that occurs, you know, under extreme stress and, you know, we see that from time to time, but the silver lining in that disease process is that the heart generally goes back to a normal shape within weeks to months.
Mm-hmm. And what is the stress link when it comes to heart disease, Dr. Harbin? Is it present with most people who have coronary artery disease?
Well, I think we don't know, and I wish we did. It's so important. I think we don't really know how stress, you know, what's the mechanism, you might say? How does stress really affect the heart? It's absolutely mystical. Janice just mentioned Takotsubo, and I have a patient in the hospital now with that condition. No one really understands how it works.
Let's maybe wrap up with any new developments that we are seeing in terms of heart disease treatment and prevention, Dr. Harbin.
Well, I don't know that there's the newest thing, I suppose, on is just the updating of the national guidelines from the American Heart Association a few months ago, as I've mentioned, that really do call for a more widespread use of statins. But I think it's not statins. I don't want to be a salesman for statins. What really matters for all of us, men and women alike, is a healthy lifestyle, appropriate diet and exercise program and attention to all of these issues.
And we'll give Janice Schrader a last word, especially maybe words of wisdom for women, especially in preventing heart disease.
Well, I think keeping in mind all those healthy lifestyle factors we talked about, exercise, maintaining a healthy weight, eating healthy. But if you're in particular curious about what your heart risk is, Gunderson's webpage has a nice heart risk calculator that goes through all of the risk factors and gives you information on how you can improve upon them. And being in open contact with your primary care provider, I think, is very important as you get older, because your risk tends to go up as you age.
Well, we'll put a link to the Gunderson website and that calculator on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, too. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you,
Joy.
Janice Schrader, an RN and nurse practitioner in cardiology at Gunderson Healthcare System, and Dr. Daniel Harbin, a cardiologist with Gunderson. Thanks to both of them for being our guests. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this hour. Stay tuned. We are going to talk some politics coming up. We'll have Senator Ron Johnson coming up after the news, and then after 7:30, we will hear from Congressman Ron Kind. And again, thank you very much to those of you who pledged during our just concluded winter membership drive. You donated more than $578,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you depend on. Thank you so much for your support. Coming up tomorrow at this time, I know we have a really interesting program. Yes, we're going to talk about the 50th anniversary of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover and the brouhaha over Barbie being on the cover.
News, music, entertainment. Now you can find everything you love about Wisconsin Public Radio online. It's the all-new WPR.org. Catch the latest news headlines from WPR and NPR. Listen to our live streams and browse the archives of your favorite shows from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. WPR, we're not just on your radio.